Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, reading verse 9 and 10. "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." Heavenly Father, once again I plead for a move of your Spirit. Please speak to the people. Somehow use this braying ass to touch the hearts of your people and to stir the hearts perhaps of those that are not your people but have tuned in for some reason or another. Please speak to them. Please open the eyes of their understanding as Paul prayed. Lord, I'm desperate. I must have a move of the Spirit. I must have the touch of God upon my life. Not for me. I don't care about me. I'm not on the radio preaching your word for me. I'm caring for those listening. I have something that the world desperately needs. And again, it's nothing of me, it's nothing of myself. But your word is precious. It's the great pearl of great price that the man Jesus talked about sold all he had to buy that field and take possession of that pearl. As John the Baptist said, "Lord, help me to decrease, that you, my Lord, might increase." Please move today as I preach. And I'm careful to give you the praise, the glory, the honor, the credit. In the name of Jesus, amen. I could mention Bible passage after Bible passage. I've referred to the pearl of great price. I could tell you about the woman at the well who found what she was looking for in Christ. I could tell you of the comfort that the Apostle Paul told us about in the second book that he wrote, 2 Corinthians. I could bring to you many passages, but in these few minutes there's something I'd like to get across to you, if I could. There is a secret life that the Christian has that the world knows nothing about. They are completely and absolutely ignorant of even its very existence. God from heaven comes to dwell in the heart of the Christian. I know that we talk about that every Sunday in most churches. We sing about it perhaps in our hymn books. We thumb through the Bible and we see it. But Jesus said that the Word of God and the things of God and the life in God is spiritually discerned. Unless you're born again and converted, unless God Himself, by the agent of the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell in your heart, then a lot of things are just academic. A lot of things are just words on a page or something that we've heard about in church. But what I'm trying to say is that there is an inner walk, an inner reality. I can look out the window today and see that the sky is blue, there's a few clouds. It's not raining, it's a little bit hot, but it's a nice day. That is a reality. I can go out my door, out towards the parking lot of my complex. I can see cars passing. I can see the trees, the birds. These things are real. Make no mistake, the cars on the street are real. If I closed my eyes and walked across the boulevard, I may get hit by a car. That's a real thing. But the Bible talks about something just as real, and perhaps even more real, than the physical world that we live in. There's an inner walk, an inner reality, an inner relationship that the Christian has or can have with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In praying for these messages that I preach, I pray that God will help me to understand His Word, and I pray that God will help me to somehow reach those that I'm able to minister to. But there's something that burns in me, and that's the reality of the Christian life. Jesus said to love your enemies and to do good to those that despitefully use you, to pray for those that do you wrong, and to forgive them. The Bible says don't steal. The Bible says don't cheat. The Bible says don't do a lot of things. It's not because He wants us to look good on the outside. It's not because, well, this is what the Bible says, this is what Christians do, so this is what we need to do. These outward things, they really are intended to reflect an inner walk and an inner reality that God gives the Christian. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, a familiar passage, I'm sure, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I've told my testimony on this radio station before. I was a sinner. I did what sinners do. I never did the right thing except when I thought that it made me look good. But one day Jesus came into my life, and He changed me from the inside. Instantly, and I mean instantly, in the space of just a few minutes, on November 30th, 1984, at about 1:45 in the afternoon, Jesus Christ changed my life from the inside out. Instantly, I knew that Jesus died for me. Instantly, I knew that the burden of sin, which I labored under, everyone that lives labors under the burden of sin, I knew that, first off, it exists, which I didn't understand before. But I guess it felt like 1,000 pounds lifted off of my shoulders, and I felt free and light. That's the burden of sin. It was lifted from my account and lifted from my life. My spirit and my soul were free. I know that reality. The Bible talks about it. Condemnation, guilt, etc. were taken away. And that is a reality. It happens. It happened to me. Many of my friends have testified to me that it happened for them. When they were born again, they felt clean. They felt new. Instantly, I knew that I was free of drugs. Instantly, I knew that I didn't have to go to the bar anymore. That's what we did. I was a college student at LSU. Everybody went to the bar. A lot of people smoked dope. A lot of people chased women. A lot of people did all of these things. But in just a few minutes' time, I knew that that wasn't for me anymore. I was in Christ, and God made me a new creature. Old things, my old life, passed away, and Jesus made my entire life become new. But too many Christians sit in church every Sunday, maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday if it's an off night. They sit in church a few times a week, every year. They hear the same sermons, they sing the same hymns, but they still gossip. They still think evil thoughts. They're not living the Christian life that the Bible says is available. They're not living the Christian life that the Bible says is normal for the Christian. Now, I'm not here to beat anyone up. I'm not here to condemn anyone. I'm simply trying to say that there is something more for you, deacon, perhaps. There's something more for you, choir member. The songs that you sing, they speak of biblical truths. The Bible is true, you know. The things in the Bible are true, and you can have what the Bible says. You can have the benefits that the Bible speaks about. And you can have the approval of God. I know in today's modern society, to say that you have a mother or a father, that isn't always the case. But 50 years ago, 60 years ago, things were different. We had a traditional nuclear family. But many of us know what it feels like to make your mom or make your dad proud of something that you've done. Maybe you did good in school or something of that nature. And we also know what it is like to feel the disapproval of your parents, or maybe your uncle or your teacher or something. You know what it's like to have done wrong. The Bible says that all men have sinned. I can go through Romans and quote the verses. Romans 3:23, 6:23, etc. Before God, every man starts out guilty. Guilty of sin. Guilty of rebellion and self-will. But when you come to God, truly, not just attending church or joining church or perhaps joining the choir, but when you truly come to God, you have this overwhelming feeling that God accepts you, that He accepts you, that He loves you, that He cares for you, and that you don't have to do anything to earn His approval, but that your Heavenly Father accepts you. That is a wonderful feeling. But again, in many churches, most churches, I don't know how many, people sit week after week, year after year, going through the religious motions. They know when to sit. They know when to stand. If they're in some kind of Pentecostal or charismatic church, they know when to clap their hands or raise them. But it's just religion. It's just something that they do. Someone said that the act of sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage makes you an automobile. Again, I have no ill will toward anyone or any church. Now, if the church you attend is a cult, some sort of cult that has weird beliefs, you need to get out. Make no mistake, you need to get out of that. But if you're Methodist or Pentecostal or Baptist or whatever, I don't have anything to say about your church. I'm happy for it, and I'm glad you attend. But there's an inner reality that can be yours It can be yours. I have it. I'm sure you know people that you go to church with. They sit a couple of pews over, perhaps. But you know there's something different about them. You know that it's not just a religious game. It's not just, oh, it's Sunday, well, we have to be in church at 10:30 or something. But you know, for that person, it's real, that they truly know God, and they truly look clean and right. You can have that too. Again, I don't care what church you go to, but I do care that you come to God. I do care that you have what this Bible speaks of, a genuine relationship with God the Father. And I've told the story, and you've heard it told. The way to get that is to come to Jesus, acknowledging that He paid the price for your guilt, your sin, your failings, etc. The only way to get God the Father's favor is to come to His Son, acknowledging that He hung on the cross and died for you, that His blood was shed for you, because He loves you. Let me say that again. He hung and died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago because He loves you. Jesus went to that cross because His Father, God the Father, sent Him. God's Son was punished because God loves you. He took your place. He suffered for your sins. And you can have God's favor. You can know that God loves you and accepts you into His family. You can have this reality. You can have this new life that the Bible talks about. You can have it. And I urge you today to look to Him. I urge you today to forget about church. Now, don't stop going. I'm not saying that. But forget about, well, let me see, they just sang, now they're going to take up an offering, and now the deacon's going to make an announcement, and then the choir's going to sing, and then the pastor's going to preach. Forget about that order, or whatever order it is. Forget about, oh, it's the third Sunday we do this. Forget about all of that stuff. Instead, look to the one that they're talking about, God. Now, in our studies, in Daniel chapter 7, chapter 8, 9, 10, what have you, it talks about the end of the world. The fact is that very shortly, I don't know when, very shortly though, Jesus Christ is coming back. The world will end. Your job, your family, your church, your everything, everything that you know, one day will end when Jesus comes back. You may be saying, but preacher, I hear what you're saying and I need to get right. I need to do that. But you see, I've got this, or I'm about to get married, or I'm just starting a new job, or I'm out looking for a job, or maybe when things get better, or whatever excuse. But I hear you, preacher, but I got these reasons why I can't really commit now. One day Jesus is coming back. Now you may go the way of the grave like everybody else, and that's the end of your life. And you don't know when that is. You may live to be 70. You may not live till next week. Now, chances are you're going to live a long time. I understand that. But the Bible says that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And He's going to upset everyone's apple cart. And there's going to be a day of judgment. And I don't want to talk about all the theology that surrounds the end times. But the fact is There's judgment coming. There's judgment coming. And you need to make things right with God before the judgment. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I have no idea. But I know that it's coming. And I know that we need to be ready. And that's what these scriptures that I've been studying here in Daniel, and I've referred to Revelation and what have you, that's what it talks about. But again, my plea is to ignore religion. Ignore the act of going to church, taking up an offering or whatever. Ignore these things. Being a good Christian won't get you to heaven. Paying a tithe or giving to the poor or singing in the choir or something or even having ministerial credentials, a license to preach or ordination. None of these things carries any weight with God. Jesus said you must be born again. You must be born again. Please catch a hold of that. You must be born again. If you're not born again and you get to heaven, Jesus talked about that. He talked about the wedding feast in one of the parables. And there was a man that got in that didn't have an invitation, essentially. It talks about he didn't have a wedding garment. But in our understanding today, he didn't have an invitation. He snuck in. He just got into the party or into the reception afterwards. But he wasn't supposed to be there. He didn't have a ticket, if you would. And Jesus said that they seized that man and threw him out. Threw him out. If you get to heaven and all you have is church attendance, God will throw you out. You must give your life to God. You must be born again. You must have this experience that we're talking about. You must experience it. And I urge you today to stop being religious and start living the Christian life. Thank you.
So we should love him for who he is, as well as the things he has done. Ooh, we glorify God alone. We glorify God.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.